So, as I said before, think of it more of a as a conversation than a formal interview. So, how are you doing today?
You know, today I'm doing really well. I've had a lot of interactions with students. They've been really positive interactions, so I've had a really good day today.
Yeah, that's good. So you went to college on a business path, and you got a bachelor's of business administration. So what career were you looking for after you graduated? Like, what were you looking to do?
I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do when I graduated college. I know that now, when you go to college, your paths are very specialized. When I went to college, it wasn't as specific. So when I graduated, I had an opportunity to work for Dean Witter. And I ended up going into operations, which is kind of like the back office on how trades were processed. I made connections, and I ended up on an institutional mortgage-backed trading desk as a registered trading assistant. So I had my Series 7, my 63, and a bunch of the different certifications that I needed, which I thought was really interesting, and I loved it. My path kind of took a circuitous route, which I really like, and I kind of feel like historically it makes me a better mentor to students because no path is paved in cement, it's pavers. And I ended up falling in love with training. So I used to travel the country training traders and brokers and analysts how to use all of the financial market software, which I found so interesting. And then that path led me into education and becoming a teacher.
Got it. Yeah, that was my next question. Mm-hmm. So what made you decide to switch path? But yeah. So you went into education, got your bachelor's, right? And so then you...
Well, no, actually, I already had my bachelor's in business administration, so I got my master's in education. So I was specified there.
And then you were a business teacher for 9 years.
Well, actually, I started out, I became a substitute teacher because I stayed home. I had twins. So I stayed home with my twins for a few years. Then when they started at kindergarten, I started as a substitute teacher and then a permanent sub and then a part-time teacher, TA. So it was a fantastic road for me before I became a full-time teacher, because I really learned so much about students, about classroom management, about all of those different pieces to the puzzle that I don't think I would have had I gone from my professional career right directly to being a full-time teacher.
You made your way up the ladder trying to, like, get a grasp of how everything works and stuff.
Yep.
So then you made it up to being a teacher.
Yep.
So how has the transition been from a teacher in the classroom to more a student-oriented position?
So like being in an administrator?
Yeah.
So it's so different because being a teacher, it's very student-focused and it's broad student-focused. And I was able to have a different type of relationship with my students. I was very much a mentor and somebody who was able to take the time to really help teach my students what they wanted to do and gave them a lot of different experiences. Right now, as the dean of students and that role in administration, right now I'm very much about attendance and, you know, I'm very much about the behavior end of the students, where doing something like this is so exciting for me because I'm getting to know different students in a different way. So I'm taking the opportunity to really have relationships like this with you, and I've had moments that I've been able to do that, so I'm excited as I move forward here at Roslyn to continue to build that bridge.
So how have you changed your approach to education, as I said, specifically discipline?
So I've always been somebody that's held both my own children and those students that I've had accountable, but I try to hear what's going on. So for me, it's why. Why aren't you going to this class? What's happening that's stopping you from doing what you're supposed to do? And how can I help you? And really, let's look at what your end goal is. Because not everybody has the same end goal. Not everybody's end goal is college. Not everybody's end goal is the same, and that's okay. But what's your end goal? And what are you doing here that's going to help you reach it? I'm an athlete mom. I was an athlete growing up. I'm a big proponent of the understanding of muscle memory. I think muscle memory is really important. It's the same thing in any sport you play. It's the same thing with school. It's the same thing with doing what you're supposed to do. If you consistently do it, you build that muscle memory. And then even if it's not school, if it's a job, if it's whatever it may be, you've got that muscle memory to rely on, and then you continue on good, healthy, productive paths.
Yeah. And I know that you also created, you, I wouldn't say created, but brought back to Roslyn the detention room.
Yeah.
What was the main goal for that? Like, instead of just putting people in just a random whatever and just figuring out a different way.
Well, the first thing is I wanted to be able to have access to the students. So the room that I've kind of designated for detention are the art rooms right next to kind of my office. So I'm able to pop in whenever I need to. Detention isn't really meant to be fun. It's meant to get you to change behavior in some way. So by having it there, I'm able to collect students' phones. I'm able to make sure that they're quiet, not watching videos, not doing anything like that. It's meant to try to get you to change your behavior. That being said, I've actually come up with some creative things that I'm doing now with students, where if I see a student is failing a class, instead of giving them a day of detention, I'm making them go to a couple of days of extra help. And this way, to help them improve their grade, they still have to stay here after school, they're still accountable, they're still probably not doing what they want to do, but it's helping them in some way. In this way, it's more productive.
I 100% agree, because every person's scenario is different. So whether this person did something bad and that person did something bad, the levels of something bad can be different, and they shouldn't be getting the same punishment, which I 100% agree with. But how do you approach giving consequences to students in a way that you're still respected and appreciated and they don't resent you?
Well, I think consistency is key, and I think follow-through is key. So if I have a conversation with a student, I write down the conversation that we had. Like, the big thing that I have to focus on is IDs. Everyone needs to have their ID, and that's part of my position. I realize that I'm not able to follow up on people having their IDs every day, so I've designated Fridays as my ID day. And that's what I call it. So I look at the list of students that forget their IDs. If they reach a certain threshold, which is really 5, I call them down to my office. That's their warning. If they forget one more, they're going to be automatically given detention. If they forget after that, then it's a ladder, because for safety and security in the building, everyone needs to have their IDs. So that's kind of how I'm working it out. And this way, we have a conversation. I'm like, okay, why don't you have your ID? Why do you keep forgetting it? Let me help facilitate getting you a new ID. Here's a lanyard. Here's a phone case. Here's what we need. Let's do it.
And I know, so I'm also in OCC, and we've tried for a lot of times to try and get digital IDs on our phone instead of carrying physical ones.
I actually asked that, because I had a couple of students come to me with that. And the biggest reason is, in case of an emergency, a true emergency, something that none of us really like to think of, but in case something like that happens, we can't open your phone to know who you are. So in order for identification purposes, because that's something that I was pursuing, because I agree, like, we have the chip availability, the chip is on the ID, being able to convert that to your phone, like an Apple Pay type deal, everyone will have it. I understand the logic behind it from a student perspective. I've kind of reached out. I've been speaking to security about it. I've been speaking to technology about it. The biggest block that we have, or obstacle that we have to that, is that security and safety, because, you know, you see that I wear it around my neck. If something were to happen, you could easily identify who I am. If you have it on your person, in your phone, wherever it may be, we can identify who you are. Through your phone, it might require like a face ID, and you can't, in case of a real emergency, we don't know if that would be available to us.
So then how does that differ for someone who doesn't bring their ID at all?
They get a temporary paper ID. And again, we're really working on making sure everybody does, and that's the idea. So the number of students who are forgetting their ID is getting smaller as far as since I've been here. We're trying.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm just thinking of, like, are there any other schools that have maybe digital IDs that you can...
Well, actually, my son goes to MIT, and he uses a digital ID on his phone. And so here's the exact reason why we don't necessarily want it. When his twin brother goes to visit, and one goes to football, like the MIT student goes to football, and the twin brother just was going to hang out in his room. And the twin brother was going to his room, he just handed him his phone. So now it wasn't Thomas Stuber that was in the dorm, it was Matthew Stuber. So that was like the perfect example, because I called him and I was talking to him about that. He's like, yeah, it's great as long as I don't give my phone to anybody. And I'm like, well, there it is. Yeah. You know, and then there was no way for them to know it. They didn't know that it was Matt and not Thomas that was there.
Yeah, you could say the same thing about like swiping into the, yeah, I get that.
And that's it. Did that answer your question?
Yes, that definitely answers my question.
Like, okay, and believe me, I did look into it.
Yeah, 100%. And like us in OCC, I think of like, we have all these ideas and things that we want, but like not everyone knows the backstory behind it. So we don't know how, like if we're pushing for something, but there's already obstacles, we don't know about that and we keep on pushing.
So, and this is the perfect forum for me to say, come and talk to me. I love when students have ideas on how they want to improve their experience at school, and this school is so proactive and accepting and wanting to give you all the best. So come and talk to me, and if I can make it happen, if any of us can make it happen, I definitely, and having the opportunity to speak to all of you in the OCC, yeah. I'm in, anytime.
Just one final thing.
Sure.
So my overall episode is going, so I was thinking about how when I was a child, I would always watch TV because I didn't have a phone. I didn't have anything like that. Elementary school, right? And I would always turn on Nickelodeon. It would always be the same, like, five, six shows.
Josh and Drake?
Yes. Drake, Henry Danger, whatever.
Yeah. iCarly, yes. My kids,
so,
too.
And they're always in school. And they're, like, you, as I watch it, you think of school as, like, okay, you have the bell ringing, you have everyone in the cafeteria, you have lockers, you're holding books and all that stuff. But that's not what high school is like at all. You have a beep instead of a literal bell. You like don't even see half of your grade. And like no one really, you don't use your locker. They're just the here. So like what do you have to, like what kind of connection do you think that has to like what people think of high school now? And like, another thing was that like, what, like someone does the tiniest thing, they're sent to detention.
So I haven't really sent a lot of people to detention. I think that for me, my main focus when you're looking at detention are people who are cutting class. That's right now my main focus on that. I have not, since I've been here, had too many behavioral issues because everyone is really very good. Or it's my imposing nature. No. Everyone is really very, very great kids, and they're very responsive to the way that I talk to them. So I'm going to handle that one first. I'm a mom. I have two sons. High school is where you're supposed to spread your wings. High school is where you're supposed to find your independence. Sometimes when you're doing that, you cross a line that you maybe shouldn't. And it's our job to help you learn how to spread your wings, become those independent, productive members of the community that we know you're all going to be, and to mentor you sometimes if you cross a line that you shouldn't. Sometimes that's a conversation. So if I'm having a conversation with you or anyone and they've crossed a line, I'm going to say, okay, so what happened? Tell me why do you think I have you here? And it's going to be very much based on that conversation. Do you acknowledge it? Do you understand why you couldn't? Do you understand the broader picture? So if you said something that you shouldn't have said, why do I care what you say? How could that potentially impact you as you move forward? In this day and age, for all of you, I feel bad for students your age. I feel bad for young people. Honestly, I grew up, there wasn't a phone. There wasn't, everything I did was not on video. We didn't have cameras all over the school where you really couldn't make a mistake without us being able to see exactly the mistake you made, when you made it, who you were with, what you said. It was videoed, the context it was videoed. And that's very, it's a very difficult way to grow up. So part of my job, I think, is giving people a safe space to be honest, to have a conversation, to understand why. Why am I talking to you about this? Why do I care about those words that you said? How could it impact other people? Because sometimes we say things that we just, you don't see the ramifications of it because you didn't mean it in a bad way. But words matter. So when we talk about that, that's one piece of it. Now let's talk about the bells and the culture. That's climate and culture in a school. So in the school I'm coming from, we used to have lip sync battles, and it would be teachers versus students. And it was so much fun. Now me, I was never a teacher versus student person, so I always had my students in my lip sync battle with me, and I didn't care if I lost. I wanted to bond with the students and have fun with the students and give everybody a memory that you can have. We used to have different seniors versus teachers sports nights, different things to bring the school together.
Yeah, and it's all, it's definitely coming. Did they tell you about Clash and Mary?
I've heard about Clash. I can't wait to experience
it's a lot
Clash.
It's like one of the Spirit Weeks, but on that Friday is definitely a much more intense X period. It's
love it.
A lot more like intense.
Love it.
Student teacher interaction, which is what you're coming from.
Yes, and I love the student-teacher interaction. I think that's what I'm going to miss the most, is having the constant student interactions from being a teacher. I love my role as administrator. I love being part of the administrative team. You have such a wonderful team here that's responsive, and they want you to enjoy your high school experience, being at sport events, being at, you know, the band events, watching your band perform, and my gosh, they're amazing. So there are so many things that your school does that's different, just like this podcast. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. So being invited to do things like this, that's how you get the culture and climate of a school to be as positive as it is here at Roslyn.
Yeah, and it's this whole entire class, it's awesome.
I've loved watching people walking around because they're trying to get the photos right. And
yes,
I love that. That's fantastic.
And our TV starts every Friday. They do a news, it's a news class, so they do it every Friday. And they work throughout the week to make a new episode. And it's cool. And it takes a lot of effort, too.
I'm sure.
But yeah, Mr. Vogt's been trying to push for this for, I think, a couple years. And they finally said, let's go for it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it turned out to be really good.
Oh, it's so much fun. And the experiences that you're all getting, even just having this conversation, planning the questions you're going to ask, all of these things are just so valuable to you as you move forward and trying to figure out what it is that you want to do. It's amazing.
100%.
It's amazing.
That's all.
Did I answer your questions?
Yes, completely did.
Excellent.
So now from here, I'm going to take that, smush it all together, as he likes to say, and I'm going to create the final output, and then I'll send it to you before I put it on.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, thank you.
No problem. Did I answer? Are we still recording?
Yeah.